Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Is it time for licensing laws to be changed to allow nightclubs and venues stay open longer? And how safe do people feel now being in Dublin late at night anyway? Well, for more, we're joined by Ray O'Donoghue, who's Dublin's nighttime economy advisor. Ray, you're very welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Claire.
You've been called the nighttime mayor. The last government we know had promised to extend the opening hours. That was very much the agenda. It seems to have fallen away, though, hasn't it, since the new government?
I think the legislation was approved by Cabinet in October 22. So coming up in 3 years now since approval. So, yeah, it kind of is time that it was enacted, really.
Yeah, but it is. Would you agree that it has stalled or fallen off the agenda, or at least down the agenda?
I think it has a bit. I think it's been a little bit, to use the phrase, kicked down the road a little bit. And I know there is other important items on the Department of Justice agenda, of course. But it just seems to have stalled completely.
Right.
But,
and have you had a chance to meet the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Connor?
No, I haven't. And in fairness, they've been very supportive. I'm trying to do some safety initiatives, and the Department of Justice are funding some of them. So they have been proactive in that sense. But I mean, I'm not here as an activist or a campaigner for the late licence laws, but I just think they should be changed.
But you do support that. That would help you, you say, in doing your job, which is to inject more life into Dublin city centre, right?
Yeah, I think the choice should be there for people, for tourists, for residents. I think it's, we're a modern capital and we don't have modern law.
Mm-hmm. So just talk to me a little bit about what people want when they come to Dublin for a night out, because you know, for some people, half two would seem like, you know, reasonable enough. That's the end of your night. Off you go home. But you're hearing otherwise. Is that right, from people who visit the city?
I am, yeah. And I'm hearing from other colleagues within the nighttime industry. They generally think 2:30 is very early for a modern capital.
Mm-hmm. What should it be, do you think?
I think it should be what the legislation says, that it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And I think that, you know, we need to acknowledge the reality of it.
What difference would that make? Like, what does a night out till 5 o'clock in the morning look like?
What does it look like? Yeah. I think it could look like different things. It could have 5 different nightclubs might take it up. 10 might take it up if it was introduced, but I think that we need to really just highlight that safety and regulation, that they're so important, that you know, we can't have that regulation in the current law. There's unregulated parties happening, so people are going to Airbnbs having parties, hotel rooms, so on.
Yeah,
so
what sort of unregulated parties are happening? Like raves?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen the videos. I haven't been at them. I've seen the videos, though.
Yeah. So you're saying that we should be hosting those officially and in an open way, right?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that we need to modernise. The licence laws go back to 1872, when we were still under British rule. I think they were amended in 1902. And now we just need to overhaul them.
Right.
Consolidate.
You mentioned earlier on that you're working on safety initiatives with the Department of Justice, and that is a big issue for people, isn't it? How safe they feel when they go out in Dublin. So tell us what you're trying to do.
Well, I think we've made good progress now with the... We've introduced Dublin Nights Help Zone. It's also called the NINA, as you may have heard of it. And
I heard it was a pilot programme, wasn't
it? A pilot programme.
Do you mind just describe how it works for people?
It's basically staffed by a medic, a welfare officer, some security guards, and it's there to help people on their night out. If they've lost their keys, or they've lost their friends, or they're basically in a bit, they need first aid. We're taking pressure off the Gardaí. There's great support from the Assistant Commissioner, from the Guards in general, and we've already, it's only been running 2 weeks, and we've already helped a lot of people on a night out. Mm. And
a lot of that, though, is about how people feel, isn't it, Ray? More so than even helping people. It's about a sense of security.
I think it's that reassurance that it's there, exactly, that that we know that there is safety initiatives, tangible safety initiatives on the street. Mm. People can actually see them. That it's not just a working group talking about it behind closed doors, that there are actually tangible initiatives, as you can see, on the street.
Some of the events that have happened recently, so if we look at Culture Night and St. Patrick's Day Festival, St. Bridges and so on, I mean, I know you hold those up and you say this is what it could look like. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and I think that's the likes of St. Patrick's Festival were very, very, very supportive of what we're trying to do to bring culture, bring nightclubs and electronic music into the realm of mainstream culture, which it hasn't been. It's a little bit of a push under the carpet in Ireland, in Dublin particularly. Mm-hmm. And I think it is something that, I mean, if you take Berlin, for example, I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's actually recognised under UNESCO
as a cultural significant art form
since, I think, 2022 or something. So they recognise it as the importance of it being a culture of, you know, modern age, and we don't.
What happened to nightclubs? I mean, not just in Ireland, but across the country? Because we've gone from about 500 to 83. Is it because of the cost of the special licence that you need, or is there something else going on?
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. I mean, I think it's, 20, 30,000 euro to get licences for the course of a year, with 9 hours operational over a course of a week. I mean, I think it just needs to be overhauled. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, going back to the licensing issues, as I said, the nighttime economy is about a lot more than just licensing laws. It's everything from 6 o'clock in the evening until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So in your view, people aren't demanding that they can drink until, you know, six o'clock in the morning. It's not about alcohol, is it?
No, I don't think so. And I think the alcohol argument is a little bit null and void to an extent. We've reduced alcohol intake, I think, down by 34% since 2001. I know myself from the young people, I have two young daughters, they're not drinking alcohol like maybe we did 20, 25 years ago. And I think that we just need to modernise our society, or modernise the city.
Yeah, and change things from that perspective. And why, I mean, the cost of having a special licence is one thing, but what else do you think is at play when we look at how the nightclubs have fallen away? What's going on?
It's a difficult one to answer in one, in a short answer. I think there was a different kind of culture as well. We had Leeson Street, I'm saying for Dublin, for example, Leeson Street and so on, with a strip of nightclubs, with a lot of late bar. And I think the late bar is kind of caught up with the nightclubs a little bit. And maybe that took away from the nightclub, because you could stay in a bar until late, so you didn't feel the need to have to go to a nightclub or spend a few extra paying into a nightclub and so on. So I think it's kind of leveled. It's got to a level now where it can only really go back up as such, but I think it needs to be acknowledged that the choice should be there for tourists, for residents, and that's really all it is. We're a modern city. We've had smoking ban since 21 years. We were the first with that. We've had marriage equality 10 years, so we've been very proactive and very modern, and we're the only capital city that closes at in the EU to close at 2:30 in the morning.
And so what you're seeing is happening is that we have these sort of parties which are not licensed happening organically, because
that is happening. They are the unregulated parties. There's no safety control, there's no exiting control, there's no fire safety, so on, and maybe something happens to one of them and we become reactive as opposed to proactive.
So what are you talking? Like, you're talking about hundreds of people going to something like that?
Yeah, I actually have seen the videos. I promise I haven't been there, but I have seen the videos of these parties happening.
I suppose it's part of your job to know they're happening, right?
Happening in forests, happening in old houses in Dublin City. I mean, genuinely. And I think that if the choice was there, maybe 10 places would, as I said, might take it up, and maybe five or six would survive over the course of time. I think it'll end up being market-driven. I've seen it in cities around Europe, like in Amsterdam, Groningen, so on, Berlin, right across Europe. it's not like it's an absolute free for all of a sudden. There's just a few other places that are open late. And it doesn't become it's all of a sudden people are drinking till 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's it's just that the choice is there, that we trust the young people particularly, or trust anyone to be able to go out and have extend their night out, or have their night at different varying hours, that you're not condensing everything into like a 2 hour window.
That's it. And if people want to go and enjoy that kind of music and have those kind of events, that you're looking after them, you know, that you make sure that they're safe and protected in those environments.
And as I said, and then the important stuff we're doing with the likes of the Help Zone, that we're there to reassure people that we're trying to help you on your night out, and that it gives that feeling that, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe the streets are that bit safer.
And also our reputation is based around our culture, right? And our cultural life in this country.
Exactly.
And which is why we need to support it, right?
And I've been on panels in around Europe. I was on a panel in Birmingham, which was at the Nighttime Industry Association, which is the biggest summit for nighttime industry professionals. And they were shocked. So one of them was a roundtable discussion with 12 or 13 cities. And they were shocked that Dublin finished closed up at 1:30 in the morning. And we're like, really, Dublin is known as a booming, vibrant city. And they were just surprised. And look, as I said, it's not all about the licensing laws by any means, by any means at all. Mm-hmm. I think it's all about just making the city work. I've got a high-level steering group with the assistant commissioner, both chief supers, the Vintners, Faulcher, the Arts Council, Dublin City Council, all of those people on that steering group. And they're feeding into what I'm trying to do. And they're helping with what I'm trying with our strategy. And I think that's the kind of work we're trying to do.
Well, the other thing, Ray, I'm sure that you have to address as well is transport, right? Because if you're going to be open later and encourage more people into the city centre, they've got to be able to get home in a safe and affordable way.
Yeah, and I think transport has improved. We do a survey, you're doing your voice survey. The first one about the nighttime economy was actually just pre-COVID, was February 2020. And the last one was just back in April 2025. And actually 40% of people thought late night transport options were good. And now that's up to 50%. So there's been a market improvement there. There's 12 24-hour routes running all week, and there's another 12 come online at the weekend, so that's up to 24-hour.
Right.
So that 24 routes Dublin City.
So that situation is improving. But you know, when you talk about this, you'll always have people who say, Dublin City Centre isn't safe, and now you want to keep it open until 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, and it'll just make things worse. What do you say to that argument?
I think we'll make things... the argument being, if we stagger hours, we're not going to have everyone out on the streets at the same time. If everyone's leaving nightclubs or leaving late bars at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're all in the same place at the same time. They're all fighting over taxis or chip shops or whatever it might be. And if it's spread out a little bit, if they can go, well, I'm going to go to this other place for an hour or whatever it might be, or they go out a little bit later. I mean, Lisbon, for example, I was there recently enough, and they go out and they're not looking at the clock and saying, oh no, we better
cram the night
cram
into
the
a
drink
couple of hours
in before we get out of here. It's just like they can stay out for as long as they want, or as early as they want.
Yeah, but those places have a different culture around drinking as
no,
well.
No, but I think that
they?
I think that that's the important thing as well. We need to change the behaviour, change the culture, and I think we slowly are. But we need to, if culture does change, we need to back that up with these safety initiatives and with these later opening times and with these later cafes, retail, so on and so forth.
Ray, good to meet you. Thanks for coming in. Ray O'Donoghue there, Dublin City Council's Nighttime Economy Advisor. We will take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.